Good day, and welcome to the Center for American Progress Impact of Criminal Records conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Carmel Martin, Executive Vice President of Policy at CAP. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, and thanks to all those participating for joining us today. The economic and emotional consequences for children with an incarcerated parent are well documented in this country. So much so that in 2013, Sesame Street added a character with an incarcerated father. On the other hand, the consequences of a parent's criminal record on children and families, whether or not that parent ever spent time behind bars, are less well understood. Today we're going to discuss how the shocking number of Americans with criminal records has become a major driver of poverty and inequality for families. Today, one in three Americans has some type of criminal record. Many have been convicted of only minor offenses, such as misdemeanors, but many others have only an arrest that never led to a conviction. But because of the rise of technology and the Internet, as well as federal and state policy decisions, having even a minor criminal record now creates lifelong barriers to nearly all of the basic building blocks of economic security, from employment to housing to education to job training and even building good credit. These barriers have broad economic implications for the many tens of millions of individuals who are prevented from moving on with their lives and becoming a productive citizen. But they also have huge consequences for their families and, importantly, their children. Yesterday, CAP released a report that shows nearly half of all Americans have a parent with a criminal record, the first estimate of its kind. Our report shows that a parent's criminal record can significantly exacerbate the challenges low-income families already face when seeking economic security and mobility. And because these challenges affect such a large share of our nation's children, we ignore their intergenerational consequences at our own peril. As bipartisan momentum in support of criminal justice reform continues to build in policymakers in Washington as well as in states and cities across the country, consider measures to overhaul our criminal justice system, they must also take steps to remove unnecessary barriers to opportunity for people with criminal records. Removing barriers to employment, housing, and education is not only necessary for individuals with criminal records to get a fair shot in life, it's also critical to ensuring a parent's criminal record does not determine their child's life chances. With me to discuss this report's troubling new statistic is Rebecca Vallis, the Director of Policy for the Poverty to Prosperity Program here at CAP and the lead author on this report. So I'm pleased to turn it over to Rebecca, who will discuss our report's findings in more detail.
Thank you so much, Carmel. As Carmel mentioned, while the tremendous negative effects of parental incarceration on kids and families are well documented, less well appreciated are the family consequences that stem from the barriers associated with having a criminal record, whether or not a parent has ever been convicted or spent time behind bars. And that is what we set out to explore in this new report. For starters, we wanted to know the scope of the impact. While the number of U.S. kids with a parent currently behind bars is about 1.7 million, and according to analysis by Child Trends published this fall, some 5 million children have had at least one parent incarcerated at some point, the number of children with a parent with a criminal record was previously unknown. Using conservative assumptions, our analysis estimates that between 33 million and 36.5 million children in the United States, that's between 44.8% and 49.5%, or nearly half of U.S. children, now have a parent with a criminal record. So quickly, how did we arrive at this first estimate of its kind? Well, we started with the most conservative estimate of the total number of American adults with criminal records, which is estimated at 70 million. And we estimated from there the number of those who are of age to be parents of minor children. We then separated out those adults into two populations, those who are currently or formerly in prison, whose children have already been counted in previous research, such as that by Child Trends, and those with records only, so they were never in prison or had only ever been incarcerated in jail. We then used FBI arrest records to construct a demographic profile of individuals with criminal records only, those who had not been in prison. And we used sex, race, and metropolitan location status as the key factors. Using nationally representative survey data from the National Survey of Family Growth, we then estimated the number of minor children parented by a population that fit this demographic profile. We applied conservative assumptions to adjust for double counting because some children have two parents with records, and some children have one parent with a record and one who has been in prison. And that is what yielded an estimate of 33 million to 36.5 million, or nearly half of U.S. children with a parent with a criminal record. We then wanted to explore how does this impact children's life chances given the widespread impact of criminal records on children and families. Family income is one of the strongest predictors of economic mobility. Of those born into the bottom fifth of the income distribution, 42% of children remain in the bottom fifth as adults. And a growing body of research finds that income is especially critical to child development during the first years of life. But with 9 in 10 employers using background checks in hiring and the felony drug ban on income and nutrition assistance still in force in many states, the resulting income constraints can have both short and long-term negative consequences for kids, affecting language development, school performance, educational attainment, health outcomes, employment and earnings prospects in adulthood, and more. A criminal record, we found, can also diminish a family's ability to build savings. Not only can having a record diminish a parent's job prospects and earning potential, making it hard to save, but crushing fines and fees can trap families in a downward spiral of debt, something that we saw in Ferguson earlier last year. But the debt that it saddles families with can also have negative consequences for children's futures. When working-age families can put aside even modest savings in the short term, even amounts of less than $2,000, they are less likely to face hardships, such as running short on food or having utilities shut off, compared to households with no savings. And in the long run, kids who have even modest educational savings set aside for them are much more likely to go to and to complete college. In addition, federal law still includes a lifetime ban on receiving the American Opportunity Tax Credit. This is an important counterpart to Pell Grants for people with felony drug convictions. And 66% of colleges and universities use background checks in the admissions process, such that even a minor record, including even an arrest without a conviction, can put higher education and training out of reach for parents seeking to get ahead. And this can result in parents not having the level of education and training that they need to get ahead, which then has effects on kids. Kids whose parents have less education are more likely to experience poverty, to struggle with hunger, and to lack health insurance. They also are more likely to experience diminished vocabulary, mental processing skills, school readiness, academic achievement, and more. Additionally, having even a minor criminal record can affect the stability of a family's housing situation, both through loss of income leading to eviction or foreclosure, and through overly harsh one-strike-and-you're-out public housing policies, which many local public housing authorities construe so broadly as to make it impossible for an individual with a criminal record to physically rejoin his or her family. And with 4 out of 5 landlords using background checks, private housing can be out of reach as well. The housing instability and homelessness that can result can have harmful and long-lasting consequences for children's physical and mental health, as well as their language development, school performance, educational attainment, and more. And finally, in addition to the economic consequences, a parent's criminal record can also have severe negative impacts on family strength and stability. Financial stress is a key predictor of marital violence, conflict, and divorce, and job loss and economic insecurity can carry over into family interactions. Additionally, unaffordable child support orders can not only result in crushing debts, but can also damage family relationships. Thus, as policymakers work together on a bipartisan basis to reform our nation's criminal justice system. An important component of reform must be removing barriers to opportunity for parents with criminal records to give both parents and children a fair shot.
Thanks so much, Rebecca. Rebecca and I will take questions in just a few minutes about our research and our paper, but before we get there, we wanted to give some additional context to this issue by hearing from someone who's been experiencing this in a very real way, which is Ms. Matos, a 32-year-old mother of three from Philadelphia. So, Ms. Matos, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I am a 32-year-old mother of three who lives in Philadelphia. My children are 14 and 6. I am all the support they have. In 2006, after a run-in with law enforcement, I was convicted of disorderly conduct. These charges were the result of an incident in my neighborhood. I witnessed a person being beaten by a police officer. I began to record the incident with my cell phone. When the officer realized he was being recorded, he asked me to stop, and immediately after, he lunged for my phone. I tried to pull away, but a group of officers began to assault me. The assault left me with multiple injuries, including a fractured hand. I was beaten, humiliated, and scarred for life. I was also left with a criminal record. Because of the nature of the assault and the psychological damage, I was forced to take some time off from work. By the time I was ready to return back to work, I had already been convicted. I had been out on medical leave, and I was forced to reapply. For the first time, I had to check yes when asked if I had ever been convicted of a felony or a misdemeanor. This automatically disqualified me. It's been almost 10 years since my conviction, and even with it just a third-degree misdemeanor, I haven't been able to find a steady job. I went from working as a customer service representative for a leading health insurance company to working part-time for my brother's small trucking business. My brother's business does not generate enough income to pay me a salary that will allow me to support my family without having to rely on government assistance. Even though it's been almost 10 years since I paid my debt to society, I am still suffering the consequences. This doesn't just affect me. It affects my children as well. My family is still being punished. All I want is to be able to completely put this behind me so that I can provide for my children with no limitation. They deserve better, and I deserve a chance.
Thanks so much, Ms. Matos. And now we'll open up. Rebecca and I, as I said, will take some questions. Unfortunately, Ms. Matos, due to time constraints, won't be able to join us for the Q&A. But if you have questions for her, please let us know. You can reach out to Tanya Arditi at T-A-R-D-I-T-I at AmericanProgress.org. Or call at 202-741-6258. But now, operator, if you can go ahead and open it up for questions, Rebecca and I will be happy to respond.
If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question at this time. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. And it's star 1. We'll take our first question from Lottie Joyner with Next America.
Hi, hello. I had a question about Ms. Matos' story. I know she won't be able to participate in the Q&A, but she mentioned that she received government assistance. In the Talk Poverty article, she mentioned food stamps. Does that also include housing assistance, like maybe public housing voucher? Because it says she receives $150 a week from her brother's small trucking company, but what about housing?
This is Rebecca Vallis. We would be happy to confirm that detail with Ms. Matos and to circle back with you. My understanding, she received assistance from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program or food stamps because the $150 a week that she receives from her job is not enough to support her family. But we're happy to confirm whether she receives housing assistance as well.
Okay.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, it is star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no questions in the queue. If you'd like to jump in, this is a good time. Star 1. We'll pause for another moment to give everyone an opportunity to signal. There are no questions in the queue at this time. Once again, star 1 to ask a question now.
Well, Carmel, while we're waiting for additional questions, hearing Ms. Matos' story just made me think about a particular proposal that CAP has been working with state lawmakers to advance, and it's called a clean slate policy. And the idea behind a clean slate policy is that people with low-level nonviolent criminal records like Ms. Matos shouldn't be sentenced to a life sentence to poverty. They should be able to have their records automatically sealed once they've remained crime-free for a certain period of time. Ms. Matos has been crime-free for almost 10 years since receiving that low-level third-degree misdemeanor offense. She should be able to have her record automatically sealed. Currently in Pennsylvania, there is actually an effort to move forward legislation that would enable people like Ms. Matos to earn a clean slate. And if that were to become law in Pennsylvania, Ms. Matos would be able to move on with her life like she said she wants to.
That's a great point. Operator, any questions in the queue?
There are no questions at this time.
Okay, well, if anyone thinks of questions after the call, please feel free to reach out to us via Tanya, and we're happy to follow up on any additional questions. Or
pardon me, we have had someone dial in for a question. We have one from Lottie Joyner with Next America.
Hi, this is Lottie again. I'm just clarifying because in your report you do mention the clean slate policy, correct? Because I remember reading that.
That's right.
Okay. And yes, and you do go into a lot more detail about that in the report. Okay.
Great.
Yeah, but feel free again to follow up if there's
yep.
any other questions or clarification needed.
Okay.
And once again, thanks to everybody, especially Ms. Matos, for sharing her story, but thanks to all of you for joining the call, and please feel free to follow up if you need additional information. Thank you.
This does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation.